college kids, amen. And they are beautiful young ladies in many ways. And I call them my angel girls. Isaiah chapter 8. Wow. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Isaiah 8:15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. And then all of a sudden there's a shifting of gears. There is a real shifting of gears. And then we hear this, bind up the testimony. I could say it this way to you. Protect your testimony. Whatever happens, your testimony is one of the greatest weapons that God has ever given you. And guess what? Like, for instance, what he did for us today. See, that goes into the tool chest called your testimony. Bind it up. Tie it down. Cinch it up. Protect it. Praise God, because God will use your testimony to help other people. Yeah, so he says, bind up the testimony, verse 16. Seal the law among my disciples, verse 17. And I will wait upon the Lord. You know, in our impatience, many times we lose so much peace. Didn't Jesus say, in your patience possess ye your souls? Isaiah says by the Holy Ghost, and I will wait upon the Lord. That hideth his face from the house of Jacob. You ever feel like sometimes God's like, hey, God, I'd sure like to see your face again. It's been a long time. I'd like to see what you're looking like today. It's been a while, Lord. And the prophet says, and I will look for him. That sounds like faith to me. I will look for him. Hallelujah. Verse 18. I love this verse. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. That is part of your purpose. That is part of my purpose. We are for signs and for wonders. Not just to see them. Do we believe in signs and wonders? Do we emphatically believe that Jesus heals people today? God delivers people. He's a God of signs and wonders, isn't he? Even with church signs, people look at the sign and wonder what you mean by what you... Okay. We used to have one of those signs where you could change, and this is just the middle sign here. The next sign is going to be electric, and I want to be able to change the message in it every week. But we used to do that, have one like that, pastored where I pastored 19 years, and they could look at the sign and wonder. We had signs and wonders at our church. Praise God. Now watch this. Are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? And I don't know if you get that verse, but let me just explain it real fast. You're looking for answers. They're looking for answers. Somebody, he's referring to a people that was looking for answers. And when they look toward wizards and familiar spirits, you know, unclean spirits and fortune tellers and palm readers. And he said, whoa. Don't look that direction. Okay, watch this. So... He said, should not a people seek unto their God? Look to, I'm going to say it this way. Look to the manufacturer. You know that Bible you got? That's the manufacturer's handbook. I got one in my Lincoln. You got one in your Volkswagen, your Yugo, whatever you drive. You know why it's called Yugo? Because you go and it doesn't. Okay? So, but there's a manufacturer's handbook. Do you think he'd make somebody so complex as you and me and not give us a handbook from the manufacturer? Wow. Praise God. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Verse 20. Here's a key verse. To the law and to the testimony. Don't look for wizards. Don't look for soothsayers. Don't stop buying up the palm reader. Read your palm. And by the way, they operate in stuff that's supernatural, but not everything that's supernatural is of God. There is a supernatural that comes from hell, and there is a supernatural that comes from above us, from heaven. And just because some people are able to do or say some things in a supernatural way doesn't mean that came from the Lord. We need discernment in this hour. So look at verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. He wants to bring them back to the word, to the law, to the testimony. Back to the word. If they speak not according to this word or this book. And here is this phrase that I want to just take and like brand it into your brain, because it looks very innocuous. It looks very bland. You've heard that expression, the bland shall be leaders of the bland, right? The blind shall be leaders of the blind, and the bland shall be leaders of the bland. Okay, it is because there is no light in them. Now, you don't see much there right now, but I want to tell you, I want to bring you into the original Hebrew, okay? Because locked up, there's a reason why God in his amazing wisdom had his book translated from Hebrew and then in the New Testament from the Greek and the Aramaic. Those languages were pregnant with revelation. One word. You know, we have one word in English for love. In the Greek, there are something like six words for love in the Greek language. So from those amazing, those deep, prolific languages is translated what we read as the English Bible. So in the Hebrew, I want to give you this phrase from verse 20 where it says, it is because there is no light in them. One translation, the DNT, it says this, for them, there is no daybreak. Something in the Hebrew there that could be missed by a simple interpretation of a translator a few hundred years ago. Okay, now watch this. To confirm that there really is something there besides just light, again, remember the DNT says, for them, folks who look in the wrong direction, folks who look toward wizards and palm readers and tarot cards, and for them there is no daybreak. Okay, that's one translation. The WEB translates it, surely there is no morning for them. And then last of all, and if you've got the Amplified, Sister Gwen, you want to throw up the Amplified. Direct such people to the teaching and to the testimony. In other words, get back to the book. If their teachings are not in accord with this word, it is surely because there is no dawn. It is because there is no dawn and no morning for them. Not morning, people will be listening to this message and they don't see what we see. Not morning as M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, but morning as in what we get every day as a gift from God. No morning. There's no morning for them. Now you see, we got all of that from that little phrase in the King James. It is because there is no light in them. But there was something else hiding there behind those words. So let me see if I can reach down in the barrel and pull up a little energy for you and talk to you about the life that has no morning. All right, would you lift your hearts to the Lord? I'm going to ask my wife to lead us in a special prayer. Jesus' name, would you ask him to speak to you right now?
Lord, we open our hearts, we open our ears. Would you speak to us through our pastor today? Let the word drop in, God, to a sure place within us and do its intended work. We want to hear your word today in Jesus' name.
Would you lift your hands now and praise him? Just give him a little glory. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You are the worthy one. You are the worthy one. You are the great God. You are the great God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. That would be so depressing, wouldn't it? If you were to believe. I don't know what you're like when you come to the end of the day. But I have days in which I would pay you money to guarantee me that there's a morning coming. Now, I do this old sermon. I have an old sermon. Sermonettes for Christianettes, you know. I have this old sermon. And in this old sermon, I tell this true story. I was preaching in Valdosta, Georgia many years ago. And the pastor was the general superintendent's son. Stanley Chambers was our general superintendent in those days, and his son, Brother Bentley, was pastoring in Valdosta. And so we were there for, I think, about a week or so. But when I saw him on Sunday, it just seemed like Brother Bentley, who, by the way, is just a fantastic guy, amazing man, he just seemed sort of I don't want to say depressed. Let's just say he seemed like something was wrong. And not knowing him, I wasn't sure. So I did the audacious thing and I asked him how he was doing. And he said, "Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday, Charles. It's so good to see you. I was going to tell you and Lisa when I came in, there's no smooching in the pews, but you know what? We're really generous here. I mean, you know. But there's a rascal in here and I have to keep him under chain. Oh, help me, Jesus, okay? I have so much fun. All right, if you don't have a lot of fun, I have so much I can share with you. It's not how long you live, it's how deep you live, it's how broad you live. It's not just how long you live. See, I'm such a young man. Okay, I see the smiles. Yeah, okay. Compared to Methuselah. Okay, yes. Yes, I got it. So anyway, he starts telling me. He said, "Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday." He said, "I got up in the morning," and this was the day when CB units, you know, like, rubber duck, come in, you know. And he said, "My CB unit, somebody had broken into my car and stolen my CB unit." That's how he started off his day. Somebody had broken into his car. Some of you can identify with this. Not good. Not a good way. Start off a day. So he says, "I get in my car." And he says, "I drive down to the car wash." You know, the wand station. Where everything is wonderful. Hopefully. And he said, "I pull in." He put his quarters in the little gizmo on the wall there. And he said, "The hose was broken." You know, where the wand, you know, it's connected to the wand. So he goes to pull the wand out, and the hose that was broken all of a sudden suds. You know, we preach baptism pretty strongly, you know. All of a sudden, down on him, he's got this wand, I guess, and he's trying to figure out what to do with it, and there's water coming down on top of him, and suds. He sort of slipped out of there, you know, slid out of there. His car wasn't really clean, but he was just amazingly, you know. So he's soaked. He's been sudsed. His CB unit's gone. And now he's drenched and a mess. And he runs over a spark plug that he doesn't see in the highway, and it gives him a flat tire. And here he sees this bubblegum machine. Lights. Lights that you don't like seeing when they're coming for you. Lights. And by this time, he is so... And he's trying to fix this tire, this flat tire that was caused by driving over a spark plug that he didn't see on the highway. And he's messing with it. He's all discombobulated with that. And all of a sudden, this trooper in this crisp uniform shows up. He walks up to his car and... Brother Bentley is just he's so aggravated, so whatever. And Brother Bentley he shouldn't have done this, but he was so frustrated. He said, "You might as well just write me a ticket." Well, this trooper was not used to hearing that. He said, you might as well. It was this. He got his tire on. He got in the car, and he went, and then he pulled him over. So it was, he walked up to his window. So the trooper looks at him and wonders, what in the world? And he said, what has happened to you? What are you talking about? He said, let me tell you. And then he starts walking him through his morning. I got up. Somebody broke into my car, stole my CB unit. I went to the car wash. I got baptized in suds and water and mess. And then I drove over a spark plug, had just changed my flat tire, and now you pull me over. He said, why don't you just write me a ticket? Now, I would never say that to an officer because I don't think they need extra motivations, you know, and I don't like paperwork anyway, all right? So anyhow, the trooper looked at him and said, oh, just go ahead and go on. Just go on. Just get out of here. Go on. That was why when I encountered the pastor, he had had a rough day the day before, but here was the good part. There was a morning in between. Have you had days like that when you dove into your bed and you pulled the covers over your head and maybe you even wrapped the pillow around your head and you said, oh, thank God it's over. Oh, Lord, have mercy on Mr. Percy. I'm so glad it's over. And all of a sudden, it seemed all of a sudden, you were so tired and so worn out. But the next thing of conscious thought was when the light was coming through the window because it was morning and the sun had come up. And it was like, oh, it dawns on you. It dawns on you that it's dawn. It dawns on you that you have another day. That old rugged, rough day with all the mess and all the craziness, all the chrome-plated chaos is gone. And now you have the gift of a new morning. Anybody ever experienced that? So maybe we understand when the prophet was saying, the Holy Ghost speaking through one of my favorite people in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet, when he comes back to say there is no light for them. For who? For folks who look in the wrong directions for answers. There's no daybreak for them. For people who live their life in the wrong direction. For people who don't come to me for answers. For people who don't come to the book for understanding, but they go in other directions. He's saying there is no morning for them. Their mornings are over, and I can't even fully comprehend what it would be like to live understanding that I have no mornings left over. Yeah. I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to tell somebody something. Can I tell you what I feel like he gave? Though I may be somewhat used up, I want to tell you what I believe he gave me for you, and that is this. You think in your heart of hearts, you think that the rest of your life is probably going to be a train wreck based on what's happened to you of late. But he touched me and moved on me so I could come to you and tell you today you've got some mornings coming. Oh, praise God. There is no perfect one among us except one, and he has nail prints in his hands. We have all made mistakes, some of them not tiny ones, huge blunders. Oh my, yes indeed, me included, Why do you think he chose? Why do you think he chose preachers to preach to people and not angels? I think Gina, angels probably could do better. I'm sure they could. Why did he not choose angels to preach? He wanted to put somebody up there that had been through what you've been through, that's felt what you felt, to tell you that if God can touch me and lift me up and give me some sunshine and give me some light, that you too can walk in that sunshine, that you too can have that promise. There is a new morning coming for you, and the sun will rise again, and this business that you have wrestled with will seem like dirty garments ready for a laundromat because you've been washed in the blood. Oh yeah. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does it say? He is a patched up sinner? It doesn't say that, does it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I like one translation that says, he is a new species. He is a new species. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, all things are become new. This is a new year. I want to say it again in case you haven't noticed. Leave the old one behind. Quit rehearsing your mistakes in the past year. They're under the blood. We put them under the blood. There is a new day dawning. There is a morning coming to your life when God says, come on, get up, get after it. I'm putting you on reset. Is that all right to preach like this? Notice how the prophet wrote it. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are. Not they'll see signs and wonders. And I believe that meaning is in there too. But he said, are. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me to you soul winners. He wants to give you children in the Holy Ghost. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. Do you understand the tense there, what he's really saying? I have known people who have said this in their despondency. I wish I could see a miracle. How many of you have ever seen a miracle? Those of you that didn't raise your hand just lied. Oh, Pastor, can't you say it nice? Okay, you just fibbed. Okay, you say it nicer. You just messed up. I've heard that business. Listen to what the prophet said. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. In Israel, what is the thought? The thought is, listen, I love to see miracles. I've seen a lot of them, and we're going to see more. We saw the miraculous touch of God today. Some churches never have this happen. It happens to us on a regular basis. We have to make up our mind. Am I going to preach or not? There's so much glory in the house. There's such a manifestation of the glory of God and the touch of Jesus. Do we preach today or not? Why is that a decision? Because we want God to do his thing. And when he shows up, we entertain his presence. Lift your hand and give him glory. What an awesome God. What an awesome healer. What an awesome deliverer. Hallelujah. He wants to encourage people. He wants to give us fresh hope. He wants to turn the lights on. So here's the point that he's making. You're not going to just see signs and wonders. You are going to become the miracle. That's the deal. You're not just going to witness them. You're not just going to see them. You are going to be a miracle. So when I said, have you ever seen a miracle? And many of you didn't raise your hands. I wanted to say, P.S., have you ever looked in the mirror? Because if you looked in the mirror, which I know you probably do multitudinous times in a week, I'll say a day, but that'll be a little bit too convicting. In a week, I got to show you some. If I can get my wallet out. See a little mirror? I don't show that to everybody. Now, what's so funny about having a mirror in my wallet? And here's why I have it. Because I just worship God with all of my heart. I want to make sure that I don't look like a train wreck before I get up and preach to you. And you be, my tie will be going that way, and my hair will be going that way, and my nose will be going that way, and you know, my teeth are going, you know. And it's like, I'm going to make sure that I'm not scary when I get up and preach to you. What are you saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I'm going to show up in your midst. If you look to me for the answers, if you look to me for your insight, if you look to me, he says, for your understanding and your warfare direction and your counsel. Hallelujah. He said, I will be morning to you. There's a daybreak coming. There's a time, there's a point, you're not far from it, when the sun is coming back up in your life, and all of this junk that you've wrestled with will be a bad dream, because there's a dawn that's coming. Oh man. Oh, I could share a lot of stories. Some of them are right out there among us. Yeah. You say you've never seen a miracle, but when you look in the mirror, if you were biblical about it, you're looking at a miracle. That's the truth. Now, he dies. Do you think that dashed a lot of dreams? Do you think that might have shattered some hopes? They thought, oh, this is the Christ. This is the called one, the Messiah, Ancient of Days. The word of eternity translated into the language of time. God housed in human body. This is the one that was written up for hundreds of years. And Morgan, he passes away on a cross. He's actually murdered, crucified. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, as it began to dawn, see that there? Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Give us the second verse, if you would, Sister Gwen. Hallelujah. Give us number two, too, if you can. And behold, there was a great earthquake. All of this happened in that dawning. There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Hallelujah. That was resurrection morning. Resurrection didn't happen in the mid-afternoon. The resurrection didn't happen late at night. That's why it's called resurrection morning. You know, I referred our people to a verse of scripture from Romans 8:11. It reads like this: but if the spirit of him that raised up, everybody say raised up, Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that, say it again, raised up. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's Romans 8:11, King James Version. Okay, word for word, King James. If that same spirit of God that raised him up, that resurrection morning, what is God saying? If that same spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you. What's he saying? Just as he was raised up in the morning, I'm going to raise you up in your morning. Hello? Yeah, it's coming. Charles, it's on us. Christy, the hand of God's on you. Stand up, child. In Jesus' name, you are deeply loved in this church. And the enemy's thrown rotten tomatoes at you and so on and so forth. That's because he knows how valuable you are. But there's a morning coming for your family, Sister Christy. And there's a morning coming for you, because you are a precious young lady. And the hand of God is on your family. And a call of God is on your family. And the devil's a liar, but God is truth. Oh, praise God. And I want to tell you this morning, there's another day dawning. There's another morning coming. And the sun is going to rise and shine on you and Cody and Cohen and Canaan. Charles, there's a sun. There's a dawn. There's a rising. There's a dawn of a new day. We can step into it and walk into it. There is a daybreak for us, because we're looking in the right direction for the answers. not to hell, but to heaven. Watch this, if you would, Sister Gwen. I'm almost done. Chapter 21, and verses 1 through 4. After these things, verse 1. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. I've been there. I've been on that sea. And on this wise showed he himself, verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas. Anybody know what Thomas was famous for? Okay. Called Didymus. Anybody know what Didymus means? The twin. I believe that you have a twin. You have a spiritual you and you have a carnal you. And there's a tussle going on most of the time. And you say, who's winning? The one you feed the most, okay? And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, wouldn't it? And two other of his disciples. So there's around 7 to 8 people mentioned here. Read on. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. But here's what you got to understand. Years ago, I was studying this in the Greek, right? When he said, I go a fishing, it wasn't like, hey, let's go over and catch a few trout, you know. Hey, gather up the worms and let's go over here and catch a few, you know, bass. Oh, what do you catch bass with anyhow? Anyway. Worms. That's deep. Worms. When he said, I go a-fishing, what you don't know and I don't know unless we study the tense of it in the Greek, is he meant I permanently, I am so depressed, I am so disillusioned, I go back to fishing as my career. Wow. Oh, wow. That's what he was saying. I give up. I quit. I'm discouraged. Things didn't go the way that they were supposed to go, at least the way that I thought they were supposed to go. So I quit. Did you know that the old Quakers used to have quitting meetings? Did you know that? Yeah, they'd have quitting meetings. You've heard of quitting meetings, haven't you? One of them get up and they'd testify. Well, praise God. I'm quitting tobacco. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm quitting tobacco. Another one get up and say, well, I'm quitting alcohol. I'm quitting it. And the Lord's helping me in Jesus' name. Listen to this, Amber. This lady had been sitting there listening to all this one morning. And she stood up and she said, and she knew what her problem was. Her problem was giving in too easily. So she stood up and she said, I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I'm sorry. I enjoy myself once in a while. That's not even in my notes. We need to have a quitting meeting. I'm quitting depression. Hey, Jesus. Hey, devil, get out of my way. I'm quitting depression. I'm quitting doubt. I'm quitting carnality. I'm quitting pornography. I'm quitting. You might want to say, I'm quitting mother-in-law. But no, don't say that one. I'm quitting, okay? Love God, bless him, and love him, and we love him by faith. Oh, praise the Lord. And I had one of the most amazing ones in the world, by the way, who I miss dearly today. We need to have a good old quit meeting. Now watch this. This is so cool. So these are a bunch of guys that are disillusioned. They're kind of depressed, okay? Some people went through the depression and never got all the way through it. They just carried it with them the rest of their life. Okay, verse number 4. But when the morning... Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can you see what I see? But when the morning was now come. Hey, Simon. Hey, dude that said you're so depressed that you're going back to the career of fishing instead of following your calling. And you said, I go back to fishing. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've had enough of all these promises and prophecies. I'm going back to fishing. Hey, dude, listen up. The Bible says, but when the morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There's a morning coming. You thought the lights were turned out forever. God deals in hope. God deals in hope. Satan deals in hopelessness, but Jesus of Nazareth deals in hope. He brings hope. He brings counsel. He brings light. He brings revelation. And to people who think that they'll spend the rest of their life sitting in darkness, the people that sat in darkness, Isaiah wrote in another place, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, praise God. There's a light shining. I'm coming. Listen, I'm not coming into this new year crawling. I'm believing for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in my life. I believe I'm going to see miracles, more miracles this year than I've ever seen. I'm coming into this new year with faith in His promises, in His mercies, in His loving kindnesses. He wants to sunshine down on all of us and give us another chance to become the person He's called us to be. You have a dawn. You have a morning coming at you. You have a beautiful morning coming at you, and the light is going to shine again, and you're going to understand the whys and wherefores of what you went through this past year or two or three or four, because there's another morning coming. There's the answer standing on the shore. And they didn't even know. They didn't even recognize that they were looking at the answer. So what does He say to them? Hi. What was your name again? No, He says, He gives them an instant command. Take your net and just throw it over on the other side of the boat. Just cast it off on the other side. They proceeded to do that, because the Bible tells us they had toiled all night, Sister Joy, and had caught nothing. You ever feel that way? Like, Lord, have mercy. I've been toiling all night. These years, I've got so little to show for it. He said, take that same net and just, I'm going to give you a little direction. Just throw it off on the other side of the boat, the right side of the boat. They did that, and the Bible says they instantly caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull the net in. Oh, glory. Discouraged, depressed, hanging out with toxic one another's. And He has the audacity, Tiffany, to give them another morning. Let me tell you this. It was a weird, weird night when we realized that Amber was not coming off of that cot at the hospital. It was a weird. I remembered trying to lay down and sleep, and I had trouble sleeping because I was used to sleeping knowing that my baby girl was okay, that she was fine. As a matter of fact, even though she was in her 30s, looked like she was in her 20s. It was so funny. Amber, your buddy, one of your volleyball buddies, would go to look for a house and they'd think she was a teenager. She used to get so much kick out of that. I said, Amber, don't worry about it. When you're 45, 55, they'll think you're 25. It's a gift. It's a gift. I'm not sure she believed that, but I was trying to convince her. But that first night when I knew that she was gone, I laid down. I couldn't stay laid down. I couldn't think. I couldn't sleep. I got up to pray and talk and to God. And then a few hours later, in the dark hours of the morning, to drive around in the Holy Ghost in those next few mornings in the darkness. And every one of those mornings, can I tell you that every one of those days that the sun came up, just like clockwork, that the day dawned, and every day that's dawned seems like it brings me more strength. Every day. And now I'm looking at hundreds of mornings that stand between me and a traumatic accident that can leave you a train wreck and mess your ministry up and steal your anointing if you get bitter and angry. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we are in His hands. Alive or dead, we're in His hands. He is the boss, not Bruce Springsteen. Jesus is the boss. And he doesn't need the E Street Band to prove it. He is the boss. And every day since then, I mean, the sun comes up. Oh, the consistency that God gives us. Hallelujah. He doesn't become un-God for a day or two. He doesn't disappear. He comes up like the sun. Oh, praise God. Consistently. They can tell you what minute the sun comes up in the morning. The dawn is a prophetic thing, but it's also a statistical thing. They can tell you what minute the sun was rising this morning. What does the Bible say? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Anybody remember what direction when they camped around the tabernacle? Where was Judah? Where did he put the tribe of Judah? Judah means praise. Where do the worshipers sit? Where are they camped? They were camped facing the rising of the sun. The worshipers are the first ones. If you will continue to praise and continue to worship, he puts us in a position where we're the first ones to see the rising of his light and promise. You have daybreak coming. Hallelujah. If you use your faith, you can dance in the aisles this morning before the preacher even challenges you to do so. There's a dawn coming your way. This is a new year, and it is another opportunity for us to plug in to his power. One word. See, you toiled all night. You didn't catch anything. We've been there, done that, and felt so unsuccessful. And one directive. One word, one rhema word from God. Hey, cast your net on the other side. Well, I said, well, you know what? We've been doing this all night long. We're fishermen. This is our career. I almost hear him wanting to say, it's not supposed to be your career now. He doesn't chide them. He doesn't bawl them out. He just gives them a quick direction. Just try something new. Just cast that same net over off the other side of the boat. And when they do, when they instantly obey him, you know, we do forensics, we do debate, we do lots of stuff when God speaks to us. But they instantly obeyed him. And when they did, they had so much success, they couldn't get the net into the boat. And it happened in the morning. Lift your hand with me, would you, in your heart for a few moments as our musicians come. Oh, Jesus' name. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful for light. I'm thankful for the sunshine. I'm thankful, God, for the mercies of the Lord, the loving kindnesses of God. New every morning. Hallelujah. New every morning. Anybody read the story of Jacob lately? Back in Genesis? When he knew and he heard, he got the news that his brother's coming, who he gypped, who he conned, who he manipulated. And he's coming with 400 men. And I promise you, it wasn't just to have a cup of coffee. He was getting ready to have his hide nailed to the wall. It would be bad enough for Esau to come because he's a rough and tough dude anyway. But he had 400 men. Aaron coming with him. And he got the news. He's headed your way. And he sends his wives over the brook and all of his own possessions and things. And he, that night, he wrestles with God. And an angel shows up. At least some scriptures comment on it as it was an angel. But as you read the story, you wonder if it was something else, a theophany or something. He wrestles, and finally, this other being, this manifestation of some personality from another world says, you need to let me go. The day is dawning. You know what I think he was saying? Okay, you got your miracle. The morning, and it's fixing to happen. It's going to be a new thing for you. He was sure he was dead meat. And Jacob said, oh, would to God we had some of these times. He said, I will not let thee go. He was in such a place of desperation. We pray sometimes little Peter Pan prayers, you know, little Sunday school prayers, little, you know, vanilla prayers. But there are days when those won't suffice. There's something about desperation that moves the heart of God. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Why did this visitor, this angel, if you were, say to Jacob, what's your name? Why did he ask him his name? Do you know? Why did he ask him his name? Do you know why? Hi. I won't blow your mind. Maybe. Ready? Say ready. Ready? Are you sure you don't want me to give you the mic and explain this? It's not deep, but it's neat. Do you know what his name meant, Morgan? Jacob's name. Say.
Deceiver.
She's got it. She's on it. He says, what's your name? He wanted Jacob to confess the basic wrongness of his whole personality. He was a trickster. We would call him a politician on steroids. That's what we call him. Okay. But he was a trickster. He was a deceiver, a con artist. So when the angel said, what's your name? What was he saying? He said, I want you to admit what you are, right? God was fixing to do a miracle for him. But he wanted him to confess his weakness. Oh, man. You know, God, you're not going to hurt God. He can handle it. When we come to him in prayer and we go, hey, God, you know, I don't know how you get stuff from God, but it's when I really level with him. Lord, I don't know how to pastor. I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know how to live my life without you. I have not learned that. I don't want to learn that. It's about you. You're the center and the circumference. You're Alpha and Omega to me. You're the beginning and the ending. You're the morning, noon, and night of my life. So without you, I'm a goner. I'm a dead man without you. Something happened there. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Wow, something happened and God gave him some promises he wouldn't let go till he had some promises, but God touched him in his thigh and put it out of joint. Aaron, oh, sportsman with a degree in sports injuries, would I be right to say that your inner thigh would be the strongest point of your anatomy, as it were, right in here? He puts that out of joint. Oh, we said, thanks, God. Because we come to him, we go, here, God, here's where I'm really strong. And God says, oh, let me touch that. Not anymore. What are you doing, God? I need you to come and let my strength flow into you. I'm going to put what you think you depend on, I'm going to put that out of joint. I'm going to build a saint. I'm going to build an intercessor. I'm going to build a prayer warrior. And they're not going to be that because they're strong in prayer. They're going to be that because I put an anointing on them. And I put their carnality out of joint. And I put their doubt out of joint. And I put their fears out of joint. Woo, come on now. Praise God. And this man's going to limp the rest of his life in his flesh. But he's going to soar in the Holy Ghost. God gave him a promise. He spared his life. And by the time Esau got to him, Esau's whole attitude about him changed. Because his brother Jacob had the audacity to spend a night in prayer and claim the help and blessing of God. Listen to this verse as it wraps up Genesis 32. And as he, that's Jacob, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. You got another morning, Jacob. You thought that night would be your last night alive. But I'm blessing you with another morning, Would you lift your heart to the Lord? Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Oh my. He passed over Penuel. There's some places you can pass over. There's some junk. There's some craziness. There's some stuff you can pass over and leave behind. Because the sun is rising. Oh, I would to God somebody would have the courage to come down here for a few moments as we close and stand here as a testimony. You believe this is happening in your life. The hand of God is on you. He's going to touch your finances. He's going to touch your children. He's going to touch your grandchildren. He's going to touch your family members. He's going to break chains off of you and open up new resources and new understandings and new revelation. There's a morning coming. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The sun rose. Gonna be a new man, Jacob. The sun rose upon him.
There's nowhere we can go that you won't shine.
The sun rose.
Redemption's light.